Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Jim Layton is the president of Purdue Foods, the third largest poultry company in the United States, and he's the author of the new book, Getting Fit, Unleashing the Power of Fully Integrated Teams. So I have to ask, what is disintegrated teamwork?
Well, an integrated team is a team that comes together around a common purpose and common principles. And once you have that team formed, then you define what it is you want to do, or what I refer to as the promise. So a disintegrated team is one that is very siloed focused. So if you're in a department, let's say you're in operations or in marketing or in sales, your focus is on your functional area and you're basically managing that functional area vertically, where an integrated team comes together and they look horizontally. And really what they're doing is they're looking across a value chain on whatever their promise is to the marketplace or to a person or to whatever it is that they're serving. I have found that the return on investment for integrated teams is much, much higher than it is for disintegrated teams, because all members of the teams are not rowing together.
So you really have to have an integrated team collaboration and cooperation.
Absolutely. They're linked, they're synced, and they're aligned.
When did you first learn about the importance of purpose and the use of integrated teamwork? Was that at ConAgra?
FIT was born out of a concept that came together when I was teaching postgraduate classes in leadership and organizational behavior at Keller Graduate School. And it was really used as an assessment tool. And it was very interesting when my students and I came up with it. I started using it with the students, and about 10 to 20% of the class I noticed during a 10-week period of learning leadership and organizational behavior would have a significant change in their personal or professional situation, meaning some would get married, some would get divorced, some would take a job, some would get promoted, some would look for other situations. And the reason that that was happening, I found out later, is that those people who took this very serious sat back in their lives and looked at where they were, and they did an assessment relative to their skills, the organizations in which they serve needs. And then we really got deep into, are they really passionate about what they do? Is the fire really burning in their belly every morning when they get up? Are they a TGIM, thank God it's Monday, person, or are they a TGIF person who can't wait to get out of there because they're looking at the clock? And does all that sit within a nutrient-rich, toxic-free environment? In other words, we do a cultural assessment relative to, are the values and principles of the organization in which they're involved with, or the team that they're involved with, aligned with their own principles, or are they integrated where they're unaligned or there's an issue there? And when people take this serious and step back, what they find is that it's very important to understand what their purpose is and define their purpose and make sure their purpose and their principles are aligned with that of the organization. And the more aligned they are, the more value that's created, both for the individual as well as for the organization. And the FIT model works the other way around, too, is part of the assessment should be and the individual assessing the organization's skills relative to the organization's skills to fulfill the needs of the individual, as well as how passionate is that organization about the individual. And that's what fully integrated teams do. There are people that trust each other. There are people that understand that their real job as a team member is to support and make other team members successful, and therefore making the entire team successful.
Now, this works not only in self-directed teams, but it should also work with a management group, right?
Oh, absolutely. It can be I call them tandems. It can be two people. It could be a married couple. It could be a team of three. It could be an organization of 100,000.
So at ConAgra in Batesville, what was the problem you found when you joined the company, and how did you apply FIT or FIT to it?
Well, ConAgra Foods, I had the responsibility for all of their operations and well over, I think, 80,000 associates or something. And I went down to the Batesville plant, had not met the plant manager, walked into the facility, and one of the things that we do is I'm there to help, I'm there to support, and I asked him how he was doing across his various goals. And it was a singular focus at that point in time on profitability, which one might expect. It's a for-profit company making great food products. And what I noticed is that it was so singularly focused on profit and productivity that it wasn't sustainable. And what I mean by that is I started asking him questions on how are you making your profitability goals, and he very much focused on that he was favorable in his direct labor, as an example. And I said, well, how are you favorable in direct labor? And I share this in my book. Is he said there's a progression period where we start a person at a lower rate, and over the first year, they progress to a higher rate. So in order for me to make my financial goals, I make sure that as many people as I can, I make sure they don't make it through that first year of probationary period. And so I said, well, what's your turnover rate? And he said, it's over 100%. I said, well, that's a problem because it manifests itself in other places. Like, well, now let's look at your safety goals. How are you doing there? Not good. Let's take a look at the quality of the product. Do you have any problems there? That wasn't good either. So we basically applied fit by stepping back, identifying and articulating what the purpose of that facility was, what the principles were that we were going to adhere to. And we started with people, and then we focused on products. And then if we philosophically communicated that if we do it right by our people, if we do it right by our products, then profitability will flow out of that versus a singular focus on productivity, which is not sustainable.
Well, I would think that the focus found at Batesville initially would have been more investment in training new people and slower product or weak productivity, because each year you'd have a new bunch of employees.
Exactly, and it's very difficult to get people engaged in what they're doing in meaningful work when they first come to a company. And people that have been around and doing what they've been doing for a while become emotionally attached to what they do, and it's very important. I've been in the food business my entire adult life and have been with companies that manufacture just about everything you see in a grocery store. And it's amazing that what I have found is that when you create fit teams around operations that produce food, as an example, the best quality control system you have are your people. And people who care, people who are supportive of one another, people who understand the purpose of what they're doing is something larger than what any one individual could do themselves. And they don't view their job as producing food. They view their job as something much more purposeful.
And you write in the book, and I'm quoting you, people in the American workplace have lost their sense of purpose. Is that true of most employees in the way that leaders direct them?
Absolutely. We have an issue, and a number of authors and speakers talk to this, and I've done quite a bit of research myself as well as my 35 years of experience. And what I have found is that this great country in which we live in the 20th century is built upon the industrial age operating system. And it worked very well during that period of time, and it was very top-down. It was very industrial. What I mean by top-down is the person at the top of the organization would shout out orders to people lower in the organization. They were told exactly how to do their job in the steel mills or the textile mills or wherever they were, and people would come in and we'd pay them a rate. And that process and that operating system worked for a number of years. And by the way, it also required left-brain activities, which is not creativity. It's not solving complex problems. But in the 21st century, jobs have changed, and the operating system that we currently have is the old 20th century operating system. And what I talk about in the book is the need for a new operating system. And what I mean by that is that you need to engage associates now, because we're asking them to do things much differently than we've asked them to do it before. We need them to be creative. We need them to engage their brains, and we need to specifically have them engage the right side of their brain to help us solve complex problems.
Now let's focus on fit, because I think that's the point of this whole story, really. Where do you start as a leader of a team to encourage a fit, fully integrated team structure and behavior?
Yeah, I've done this many times, and it's kind of interesting. And fit really is the intersection between an individual and an organization. And there's a lot of that in the book, and it speaks specifically to that intersection between skills, needs, passions, all in a nutrient-rich, toxic-free environment. But fit is much greater than that. According to Webster's, I pulled fully integrated teams, which is the acronym for fit, apart. And the definition, according to Webster's, is to reach the greatest extent, remove barriers imposing segregation for people working together toward a cooperative goal. The way that I describe fit and define it, it's creating something together that no one person could ever create alone.
And that's under the direction of a leader, or are we saying that in a fit team with fit, you don't necessarily need a leader?
No, you don't necessarily need a leader if you have well understood and inculcated into an organization an alignment of purpose, an alignment of principles, And when I say alignment, it's an alignment of thought and people around the purpose and principles of the organization and what it is that you're trying to get accomplished, which is what I refer to in the book as promise. So the flow of fit starts with purpose. It's the purpose of an organization. The purpose of Disney is an example. Their reason for being, if you will, is to make people happy. They have a stated purpose. And then at Purdue, as an example, we have stated principles. Our principles are integrity, it's quality, it's teamwork, and it's stewardship, which all ladders up to trust. And then you select your people. As Jim Collins says, you first need to select the people, get them on the bus, and get them in the right seat. Well, what he's really talking about in the selection of the people is making sure that those people, before they even get on the bus, are buying into and align with your purpose as well as your principles, or your guiding principles relative to how you're going to go about doing whatever it is you're going to do. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. When you bring the team together, there are core questions you ask team members before you put them in their seats, right?
Yes. Actually, in an interviewing process, what I do is I take them through the fit model. So typically the way that this works in the assessment phase is an individual will sit down and there will be a job description, which basically communicates or articulates the needs of the organization. Then the individual is sitting there with a resume, and they're basically saying, okay, here are the skills or capabilities that I am bringing to the table, and you do an assessment relative to that person's skills and capabilities to the organization's needs. The differentiator and fit in the model is then the next question that we get into is one of passion, and I use something called the five whys when we start talking about passion. So I will ask an individual in interviewing situation as it relates to the opportunity that the person is talking about, is what are your passions? And typically people, it's not a question that they're used to hearing. And what they'll do is they'll throw out four or five things. And I will land on one of them, and then I will ask five whys. So if they say that I'm really passionate about, say, teamwork, then I will ask them, well, why are you passionate about teamwork? Because not everyone is. So I provide context for the why. And what ends up happening is it really gets you down to the root cause of a person's passion. Why are they passionate about what they are? And then that is part of the assessment to see if their passion is aligned with the passions as well as the purpose of the organization in which they'd like to join.
And the team's purpose, of course, too.
Absolutely. I use organization, teams, and tandems synonymously.
Am I overstating this, but couldn't fit be used to hire people and be sure that you're getting top quality individuals for your organization?
Yeah, fit can be used as an assessment tool in bringing people on. Of course, there are a lot of other instruments that can be used, but fit is a model of which you could also apply those instruments. But it's also an assessment that should be used in a living organization. In other words, from time to time, it's good for people, like I did with my students in my class, to step back and use the fit model to assess their situation, because circumstances around us are changing all the time. And every once in a while, if all of a sudden that you're not a TGIM person, thank God it's Monday person, and you're feeling a loss of energy and so forth, and you know, loss of passion for what you're doing, sometimes it's good to step back and see and making sure you really understand what's going on there. And what I have found is typically what happens when people lose energy or lose enthusiasm or lose their passion for what they're doing, they've lost it because they've walked away from really their purpose, why they actually exist and why they're there to do what they do.
And you referred to a dream team. Is that a fit team?
A dream team is a fit team. You can put that in a lot of different contexts. I grew up just outside of Chicago. Of course, great Chicago Bull fan, a huge fan during the Michael Jordan era. And it's really interesting that they referred to them as the dream team. And one of the reasons why is because a team is like a human body where the cells of the body come together in a division of labor to create and do something that no one cell could create alone. Well, that team did the same thing. Everyone had a role on that team. They understood what the role was. There was a book that was published called The Jordan Rules, and it talked about, you know, what Michael Jordan's role on that team was and how the coach of that team was able to bring them together to work as a dream team by being integrated and really knowing what the goal was and knowing everyone's role and what their real purpose was.
And what are the skills specifically you're looking for among individuals to join the group?
I refer to the promise. It depends what you're trying to deliver to, say, the marketplace, if you're in an organization. So you define the what it is you're trying to do, but then you have to go back and you need to align people around the purpose and their principles in order to deliver the what. Or said another way, most people in most organizations start with a what first. They don't start with a why. Simon Sinek talks a lot about this. He calls it the golden circle, I think. And he is absolutely right. Organizations, in the research that Jim Collins has done as well, supports this. It supports that organizations and the people within them that understand their purpose, understand their principles, have a higher return on investment than organizations that don't. Most people come together focused on a what versus first starting with the why.
And there is a definitive result. The return on investment is higher productivity, higher financial benefits. What else?
The other major benefit, other than the financial benefit, is allowing members of the team as well as the organization to become fit in the multiple dimensions of their life. And what I mean by that is I have four dimensions of my life as an individual that I work on every day. I work on spiritual fitness, I work on emotional fitness, I work on intellectual fitness, and I work on physical fitness. And as long as I can keep all of those elevated and putting energy into those things, that allows me to be holistically fit. It's the same thing with an organization. Organizations typically focus on fiscal fitness, but they also need to focus on the intrinsic value that they're bringing to individuals and how fit are their teams. Are their teams highly engaged? Are their teams feeling good about the organization that they work for? Are the teams trusting of one another, the team members? And are they advocates of the organization that they support?
And turnover is low, right?
Extremely low in those organizations.
Your use of fit has not only been part of your job life, but also your personal life. And you've seen it applied with your brother's work too, correct?
Yes.
Could you share with us some of that?
Yeah, I share a couple of different stories in my book, and one chapter is dedicated to my brother. I have an older brother who's a very, very talented microvascular plastic reconstructive surgeon, and I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for him because of the amount of effort and time it took him to become the best in what he does. And there's a lot of research around that, and people become the best of what they do by investing 10 years or a minimum of 10 years or 10,000 hours into it. And his practice, being a surgeon, changed quite dramatically over the years. He honed his skills by spending unbelievable number of hours in emergency rooms where gunshot victims, all kinds of people would come through the doors. And basically what his job was to put them back together and bring them back to life in many cases. So he had burn patients. He had all kinds of people that he was dealing with that were very much in need of his skills. And then his practice over a period of time, for a variety of reasons, moved over to more plastic surgery, aesthetics, and he had a number of his patients, very high percentage of his patients, as he said, were people who had way too much disposable income, didn't have needs, but they had wants, things like nose jobs, facelifts, and so forth. And what happened is he had really lost his sense of purpose. And because he lost his sense of purpose, one day he quit. He just didn't show up for surgery. And he retired, walked away from his very lucrative practice and very lucrative life, and sat back and used fit to assess where he was in life and came out of retirement. And what he does now is he does a lot of pro bono work, and mostly for burn patients, and he has some fairly famous burn patients that he's worked with where they are not burn victims, they're burn survivors, and he's dedicated his time and his skills free in many cases to do this. He travels around the world to help young children with cleft lips and so forth, and what he's finding out of this by doing this is that it's very intrinsically fulfilling. And when he retired, what he was really focused on is, because he lost his real purpose in helping people become the best versions of themselves, he was focused on the extrinsic trappings, as I say in the book, of plastic surgery. And so now he's much more intrinsically fulfilled. He loves what he's doing, and he's helping a lot of people.
You know, I'm glad you included that story because I think it suggests that fit has applications beyond business, beyond teams, to everyone who's looking for a new direction.
Yeah, I totally agree. Some people refer to it as flow. It's like in Steve Jobs, in his commencement speech at Stanford, in so many words, was kind of talking about this and the importance of really following your intuition and really, as much as you possibly can, let love of what you do guide you to where you're going to go.
I want to thank our guest on today's program, Jim Layton. He's the president of Purdue Foods, and he's author of a new book, Getting Fit: Unleashing the Power of Fully Integrated Teams. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Okay, thank you very much.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.